Why? Why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy. Just a hard day at work.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't want to go straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 2nd of December, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And I have to start the show by saying congratulations to my good and owner Bailey. Let me, for those who may not know who that is, Mrs. Ona Mitchell Powell Bailey. She was honored among a number of PLP Marathon stalwart members yesterday. I think it was yesterday afternoon. And I want to say congratulations to my Aunt Ona Bailey. I was unable to attend the event. But perhaps that was a good thing, because I may have made the moderator say those famous words, "Please hold all applause until the end of the naming of the honorees." But again, from her entire family, we say congratulations, and especially to the newest member of the Mitchell, from the newest member of the Mitchell family. We got a new baby and we are very excited. Okay, there's lots to talk about today. Of course, we're going to talk about the Commissioner of Police's National Night. I want to remind you guys, we are in the middle of the Global 16 Days campaign, Activism Against Gender-Based Violence, that's held from the 25th of November till the 10th of December. The 25th of November is the International Day to Eliminate Violence Against Women and Girls. The 10th of December is International or World Human Rights Day. Tonight, Monday, December 2nd, 6 to 8 p.m. via Zoom, an event leveraging CEDAW for resilient systems with Marion Bethel. And tomorrow night, another event, Channeling Rage. a theater workshop with Paula Hamilton Smith, also via Zoom, 6 to 8 p.m. For details on how to sign into these sessions and to find the schedule for the Global 16 Days campaign, the schedule of events, you can go to tiny.cc/16days24. That's tiny.cc/16days24. We've got lots to talk about this morning. Black Friday sales. I see realtors, it's a Business Guardian business section. Retailers report successful Black Friday sales. But I just want to know, according to whose metrics, right? Why, how, what? And I'm not sure if y'all are even doing Black Friday right. There's also Big Valley Boys decision. World famous Valley Boys win Supreme Court ruling. A Supreme Court judge on Friday upheld an injunction preventing the Office of the Registrar General from removing the world famous Valley Boys from the list of nonprofit organizations, according to the Junkanoo Group led by Brian Adley. Trevor Davis, interim chairman of the Second Valley Boys Group, said his group's lawyer has been directed to appeal the ruling. Friday's proceedings were held in chambers and reporters were not allowed to attend. All y'all private special interest group activities held in private makes us question the access to state funds. It is state funds. That state funds are taxpayer dollars. The ruling follows a temporary injunction, and we move to page 13. A temporary injunction. Justice Darren Ellis issued in September. The world-famous Valley Boys Junkanoo Group is the first claimant in the case, with the Valley Boys Junkanoo Club Limited way forward as the second claimant. The Registrar General is the first defendant, while the Office of the Attorney General is the second defendant. The dispute stems from a split within the Valley Boys. In a statement, the world-famous Valley Boys expressed satisfaction with the ruling. Quote, "The status quo remains unchanged and we will continue to operate as usual," the group said. Full stop. This is now my commentary. I think that's the problem, hey? I think that's the issue. Remains unchanged. 1958 Valley Boys, you all understand what that means, right? In 2024, I will continue to read from the article. Quote, "Our focus remains on our preparations, performances, and preserving the legacy of excellence that defines the Valley Boys," close quote. I want to stick in a little commentary here. See, while you've been focused on preserving the legacy of excellence that defines the Valley Boys, the world has decided that they will focus on defining the art form that is apparently the heartbeat of the Bahamas. A group of international scholars, academics, practitioners, and culturalists have decided that they are going to define for the world what Junkanoo is, while y'all busy preserving the legacy of excellence that defines the Valley Boys. However, we go back to the article. Mr. Davis said the injunction was extended for another 2 weeks. Quote, "While some may celebrate what they perceive as a victory, we know it is only temporary," close quotes. He said, quote, "This matter remains before the courts and we are confident that when the truth will emerge and the members of the Valley Boys under the leadership of the Way Forward Committee will stand in victory. Plan B is already in motion and we will update you on our strategy before the end of the week. Despite attempts to manipulate the system and delay progress, we remain resolute. Meetings are currently being held to address this matter. This journey has its challenges, but we will overcome and reclaim the path forward. Let us remain united, steadfast, and focused on the greater good of our group and its legacy. Victory will be ours," close quotes. Dion Miller, chairman of the Junkanoo Corporation of the New Providence, has previously said the group led by Mr. Adley will not be required to change its name to participate in the Boxing Day and New Year's Day Junkanoo parades. He said only Mr. Adley's group will be recognized to compete in the A category, while Mr. Davis's faction will participate as a, quote, fun group, close quotes. Well, my criticism of the JCNP and the Junkanoo community right now has been very vibrant, and I've been very vocal about it. And I think that it is necessary, because who shall defend Junkanoo? Who shall defend this now indigenous art form? Who shall preserve it? I listened to a small snippet of an interview yesterday with a young man who I think had been practicing, a practitioner of Junkanoo for, I think he said, 25 years. And he talked about how his father instilled the Junkanoo culture in him. And not once did he mention what an element of that culture was. Not lay out what he means, what it is his father actually did. See, while you're all so busy clicking, 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 you can't see the forest for the trees. There is nobody doing the responsible thing. Here's what the responsible thing is. Not everybody could rush. Some people have to volunteer to take a step back from practicing Junkanoo to ensure that proper oversight is also practiced, to ensure that someone is looking at the bigger picture. While you all sit and fight for little trinkets and little pieces, not confetti, what you call that costume jewelry that you all put on the pieces now, while you all fighting over little pieces of trinkets and costume jewelry in an art form that should never have evolved in that way. The world is claiming Junkanoo as its own. The Ministry of Tourism already claimed it as its own. The sponsors have already claimed it as their own. And group leaders have their members spending thousands of dollars every year to be a part of a group that treats them like capital, that treats them like chattel in the pursuit of maintaining a throne. And not even the porcelain throne, you know, because over half of y'all ain't got no bathroom. I just want to make a point that Mr. Danny Johnson indicated to me that his shacks, as a part of the Saxon family, have had male and female bathrooms for a hot minute now. Anyway, y'all keep clicking and whatever it is y'all doing while we figure out how these resources that are being diverted and dedicated to the space called Junkanoo could be better used by young people who are not waiting for somebody to identify them as a part of the nation. They're not waiting on anybody to give them a working their craft and growing Bahamian culture. We can give them that. There's a text here that says, you forget the port owned the only Junkanoo Museum. That is not true. Arlene Nash Ferguson also has what? Education? Edutainment. Educulture. She has an Educulture space, and that has a small Junkanoo Museum in it. But no, we definitely don't have a national Junkanoo Museum. And we need to ask ourselves, what does it mean that at this time, the Nassau Cruisin' that has a Junkanoo Museum? Like, what y'all fighting for? What exactly are you fighting for? Are you fighting to maintain supremacy of a dying art form? That's what it is? What are you teaching the young people? How could you talk about your parents teaching you Junkanoo's culture without juxtaposing it to the broader social climate. And as it shifted, they believed that Junkanoo was an abomination of the devil, not to be practiced by good Christian people. And where is the space where we are exploring those themes? Are we prepared to change the definition of Junkanoo entirely to fit our warped and poorly formed identities? Africans steeped in European religious practice? We just going to forget what it was? We just going to reshape it and make it pretty for tourists? Comfortable? For the sensitive? I haven't even gotten on the point that y'all start in Junkanoo at 9 o'clock. Y'all can't even manage the parade. You cannot manage the parades to maintain them within the darkness. But y'all beat on your chest as if you could own Junkanoo. Anyway, y'all keep doing whatever y'all doing and wherever y'all doing it without no bathroom. Y'all just keep doing that. But don't forget, there will always be strong critics. There will always be people who offer critical interrogation and discourse about what it is that you're doing. And to try and shut them down, shut them out, or invisibilize them is an indictment on y'all and y'all capacity as stakeholders of an indigenous art form that we have the grand opportunity to be stakeholders of, to carry culture from the past into the future. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Okay, let's get to the Commission of Police's national address. In today's Nassau Guardian, the headline is Culture of Corruption. Nassau Tribune, the headline is We Must Rebuild Trust in Police. And since we're talking about crime, if you've seen the national tree that I think was the ceremony was yesterday, if you've seen the national tree, send us a text, give us a call, tell us what you think about it and about the ceremony itself. And did you see any public notice on the way to the ceremony indicating that roads would be closed? All right, here we go. To resign or not to resign? That is the question. Culture of corruption, COP announces restore trust in RBPF. Many of us awaited this national statement with bated breath, waiting to see if the Commissioner of Police was going to offer his resignation, but also make recommendations on who else should resign. Alas, that did not happen. Or maybe it did happen because the address was supposed to begin at 7:30. Then there was a notice saying that the address was delayed. And then at 8 o'clock, I turned to Zed and Ness. And while they had started their live feed on Facebook, we were listening to a gospel concert. And then it was 8:08, and I say, you know what? Let me go check our news and see what's happening there. And it turns out that the press conference had already started and nobody at Z&S was aware, or maybe they were aware. That's not the point. The point is, maybe a letter of resignation was offered. And maybe they had to move to Plan B after that. I don't know. Here's what I do know. The broadcast was late on the nation's broadcasting company platform. The speech was not live. The statement was not read live, and it appeared to be edited. I am not sure this is what we want in a national address. Perhaps we need to lay out from the beginning what is implied in a national life. You could at any time record a message and then send it to us. At any time, from anywhere in the world, that could have been done. Secondly, I think what's implied in a national address is that the media will be available to field questions from the public. I mean, to give questions to the speakers, and some of those questions could possibly be taken from the public. This was not a national address. It could have been sent in an email. And so I have a number of questions for the audience, and I can read through the article and go through some of the statements that stood out to me in the address. First one is, should the commissioner of police resign? Does this situation warrant his resignation? Should any other officials resign? Minister of National Security, Prime Minister, any others, right? I've heard lots of commentary. One in particular was that the suggestions offered by the Commissioner of Police really address police culture among the lower ranking officers and do not address structural reform in the higher ranks of the force. Another piece of commentary suggested that the Commissioner of Police could in no way or should in no way be held responsible for the acne and high-ranking members of the force. And so do you think the COP should resign and why? Here's a text. Edited, did the PM preview and edit the message? You know he did cut all communication on the matter last week, Wednesday. Oh, you mean, so you are suggesting that the act of suspending the House until December 4th was an attempt to in some way cut communication on the matter. Here's another text. Great show as usual. That's how a real place should operate, seeing that Nassau is not a real place. The speech is acceptable. Another text says, every December Bahamians talk about the high murder rate still count is reset to zero at January 1st, 2025. Then the Bahamians mind to their phone and number of murders starts at one. Here's the next thing, texter. It's not a murder count. It's a homicide count. Right? It's not a murder count. It's a homicide count. But here is an article. For me, when I saw the headline, it may, this is a space that requires interrogation. And it may also, right? It may also lead us to this conversation about whether the COP should resign. Here is the article. It was in the Nassau Guardian, 20th of November, 2024. Bahamas led region in percentage of murdered men, UN says. A United Nations study on crime in Latin America and the Caribbean found that the Bahamas had the largest share of murder victims who were men. The report, Global Study on Homicide 2023, noted that worldwide, the perpetrators and victims of homicide are disproportionately male. Quote, this is particularly the case in Latin America and the Caribbean, where roughly 91% of homicide victims in 2021 were male, while the global average was 81%, the study found. I think that this article had, along with all of these other articles, when we ask the question, should the COP resign? When we reframe and refine the question in various ways. See, if I were to call for the Commissioner of Police to resign, it would be for one specific thing. It is the complete and utter breakdown in traffic enforcement in the country. And I want to make this point. I continually talk about traffic, and in the face of these high-profile instances where we are questioning the integrity of our state institutions, I say this. You see, A small group of people are involved in corrupt activity in the country, and if it's taking place in government institutions. It's a small group of people. See, so we could talk about it all day, every day. And quite frankly, we like to do that because this is a conversation where we put the root of the problem. A lot of people say, well, I ain't dealing drugs. I ain't bribing nobody. This has nothing to do with me. See, but if we talk about traffic, everybody uses the road. And the vast majority of us are complicit in the lawlessness that have taken that has taken root in this country. See, when we talk about corruption and lawlessness from a traffic perspective, then there is greater proximity for everybody. This conversation is our conversation for us to solve because we are equally complicit in it. So I don't just want to talk about traffic as opposed to Michael Johnson or the indictment of these officers because I'm scared to talk about gangsters and politicians and corruption. That ain't what it is. It's because we will have a more effective conversation if we talk about traffic and are willing to acknowledge the extent to which we are individually and collectively complicit in this scourge of lawlessness taking over the country. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. I'm good, thank you, cousin. How you doing?
Listen, I was listening to what they said that the commissioner said about the new recruits.
Right.
How much of the stuff attached to it?
Well, if it does, then I just know that the new recruit didn't devise the plan.
Exactly. So getting a more doing a more intensive search or background search on them before bringing them in is not how this works. Once you are in there and you work after a while is where you develop the skills to do what these people are doing. These people were there for years. So he needs to now turn around and say, you know what, from the top down, we're going to be doing some intense investigation. He locked us off from the information concerning Michael Johnson. How do we know what's going on with that? And, you know, I have something to do with to say about your traffic thing. You know, this morning the police passed me with their horn blowing, right? Like we all say, they know it ain't an emergency. They just won't get through traffic. And that's what I assumed because I was behind him on Prince Charles until I realized that same car that fly past me was in the gas station putting an Andy tire. So all that noise to get through traffic was because he had a...
Hold on. So you mean the police cars, they don't have turn signals, they don't have sirens, and would you say they didn't even go out and buy each car a little $15, $20 air pump?
Well,
like they didn't ask one of these by them who like to bring in trailers of giveaways to just bring in a dray load of air pump so the police could always pump up their tire wherever they are?
But you know when you purchase a car, some of these new cars, they come with these air pumps, the small air pump inside the back trunk, you know.
Because I mean, like, if you get a flat tire, you change your tire because you always have a spare in it. Because at the end of the day, right, when a car is turned in, or at the end of every shift, there's supposed to be a period of assessment of the vehicle to ensure that it's roadworthy and ready for the next shift.
Aaron, you know, that's the biggest joke, says Santa Claus. Because you and I both know, you're talking about government-maintained or non-maintained vehicles here. Because if we had maintenance, that type of maintenance on government vehicles reporting in and having an inspection done, the amount of broken down every year, changing new vehicles, because they would have been maintained properly to begin with.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Before we go to the text line, I think a sign of reform, for me, a sign, and we can go to the phone line, producer, a sign that the Commission of Police is taking it serious, the state is taking it seriously, that they have actually, they're actually creating interrogative and substantive reform. I take you serious when I see an immediate change in traffic enforcement and police and state actor agency driving behavior. I will know that you were taking it seriously when I start seeing police officers stop at stop signs and use their turn signals. And then I see them enforcing the same. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good day, sir. How you doing?
No, fine. Now, do you notice, right? There is no other American indicted. So it's not like this a DEA job solely from day one.
Mm-hmm.
They sent some people over here and to look like a drug dealer. And I guess floating around for any money. And the dummies and the greedies were forward with a trap. They did this many years ago to the prime minister or premier of the Turks and Caicos. You remember that? They said him right up. He did the job. Now come to mind, go in the hotel room, count the money. As they're about to leave, they put cuff on him. See, we need to, what shocked me, right? The commissioner say he went to the jailhouse to see his buddy lock up. He need to run from that jailhouse. What are they going to see him for? I guess it's his optics, and I'll be angry. I'll be ashamed, angry. That this high-ranking officer let the country down and the police was down. Now he lost his pension, and anybody else?
Will we
do the same. And I hope if he get out of the jail of the States, we may put him on some more jail time.
We don't know, but perhaps it is that the commissioner wanted to look that man in his eyes and make his own determination of whether he's guilty or innocent. I don't want to talk about that necessarily. I didn't hear that in the speech. I've heard people saying that. Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning, morning.
Yeah, you know, being real is a problem on the pathetic plantation. Now, I don't care about the speech. I didn't know who would reach. But at age 60, I've been being on the airwaves, trying to bring awareness of this for like a long period of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we see where, I love the text. She said that the local sheep crying at home, nobody listens to him. But when Massa screams in the north, everything's become taut. Now, I'll share this with you. Everything speaks for itself. I used the word irreparable over and over, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the condition of corruption within the force. It's irreparable. Now, the lady that comes on and speaks about integrity, they need to uphold. I don't know what kind of integrity they got to uphold. They need to uphold that or this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, speaking, you see, the thing is, the case that these officers face, these are federal indictments from the states. So what's the aim is here if we can't prejudice your case? So we have to speak out because, firstly, the National Security Minister, we saw where he was telling the public to fund putting cameras on police, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the procrastination of such implementations is what is sickening.
So pause 52. Hold on. Pause for a second. It's not that. It's that you announced to us that you're going to have a body cam program, and then you tell us straight in our faces, don't have an expectation that you're going to have access to what we record.
No, but Aaron, someone with my pea brains should have public dialogue to enlighten the public, as even with personal encounters, okay? So what I'm saying is nothing has ever been done for me. Funds are being missing. I more than once, and you know, we say, oh, they can't believe this. When you go to, oh, they can't believe this, they can't believe that. But what I'm saying is the camera believes that. The camera knows this. The camera sees that. You're not implementing these, so you're not interested in these things. And then secondly, it's a number of things that I can expose that they are really not serious. Because when you look at, if I am in an entity and you just now remember to implement a whistleblower protection act against an officer testifying against another officer, but you want the public to be reciprocal with you and disclose information about what other people are doing, but you're not willing to do that within your own entity, then the mere fact that officers are scared to speak out because of being not promoted or political affiliation or even being killed, what does that speak for the entity? Why can't I say that? Why can't we have real conversations and something have to be wrong with somebody who's having real conversations in a small country like ours? There's nothing being done. This is rhetoric. This is post-haste. The cat is already out of the hat.
Listen, 52, I went to the Royal Bahamas Police Force website today because I have a suspicion that the Bar Association is missing. And I wanted to see if they had a missing flyer for the Bar Association, right? Have you ever been to the missing persons flyer page on the Royal Bahamas Police Force website? Have you ever been there? See, we don't need to examine, interrogate these high-profile issues to prove the point that we are in the midst of an administrative crisis, that we need to use the word irreparable. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? I'm sorry, I missed you. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry for calling back, but I really wasn't finished, you
know. No, I didn't. Okay, I understand.
I mean, I don't want to take over your show, but it's something that needs to be said. Because what I'm saying is, the top brass must show people that they're serious by investigating all of these dubious and unjustifiable killings that happened under police officers, given the fact that these information is being disclosed on WhatsApp and social media, etc. It's coming because you don't have no cold case squad investigating previous dubious shootings. So for me, you still have rogues on the force being hidden within there. So this is frivolous. And then he just mentioned the fact that they would be scrutinizing top brass. What about if I'm an officer and I go on the island for 2 months or 3 months and I come back with 50 grand in my pocket? Come on, man, Aaron. We need more implementations than that.
Thank you. Thank you, 52. I mean, I also want to say, 52, I read this article, Bahamas Led Region and Percentage of Murdered Men, UN says. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, 52, always hitting it right on the head, man.
Thank you.
And expanded further, it involves the judiciary and these lawyers. You're saying you don't hear the Bar Association saying nothing?
They're missing. They are missing. I'm waiting for the missing.
What do you think they're saying? They're the one representing most of these criminals and things involved in that too.
But so, the association itself, regardless or irregardless of what its members are doing, must continually make the line in the sand visible, right? And engage these issues to show the layman, the public, where the line is at all times, right? Like,
Aaron, and that's what we are supposed to expect from them, but they are not doing their jobs. And a lot of these entities are not doing their jobs. That's why we have all these major problems right now. No one is doing their jobs.
That's what it's looking like. That's what it's looking like. It looks like an administrative crisis.
Okay. Total anarchy to me.
Well, like I say, if you are assessing the issue from the perspective or the entry of traffic, we done passed lawlessness. We've passed it, right? Thank you very much. The things that I've witnessed on the road this weekend, I just don't know where y'all renting these brains from. One thing I know is you don't know what an economy is or what your role in it is, what part you have to play in your personal economy and the wider economy. And Carla, I see the red light. Producer, we got to go to that break. Carla, I'm so sorry we have to go to the break. If you can't hold, then please call back. The number's to call 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720 for Family Island listeners. We'll be right back.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $30,000 to provide holiday meals to families in need. But we need your help. From November 4th to December 18th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
I been up at Pinda and I meet him in his showroom. I said, Pinda, I just come out of a showroom in Portugal and let me tell you something, them showroom and selection ain't got nothing on yarns. Man, I like this stock of porcelain, this ceramic tile you got here. What I really like is the range of sizes that come in. 8x48, 12x24, 24x24. And what I really, really like, more than the things I really like, is the price. From $275 a square foot to $494 a square foot and all in between. You can't beat that. Not even with a 2x4 from Enterprises.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back. I got a caller on the line right now. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
Good morning to the Bahamas. Did they say that the commissioner went to visit the person charged?
They say that. I don't know who they is. I have not read it yet. Remember, I was waiting for the ZNS feed to start, and at 8:08 it hadn't started, and I went to our news, and the commissioner was already talking, so I may have missed him saying it. But they say it, and I don't know who they is, so we ain't really, yeah, not yet.
Wow. Well, I mean, this person, I wonder if it's the person they say lock up in New York now. He's there before
I know. I don't even know who they are, sir. And this is like, you know, this part, that part right there is a little, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, because I mean, Mike.
Not yet, maybe tomorrow. All right. I say give me some more time to read all the papers and see. You got to read the Nassau Guardian, I got to read the Tribune, I got to go to the office of the Prime Minister, right? And I got to go online and see the Director of Communications. I got to read everything. All right, let's get to some text. The commissioner is all about deflecting. Will the COP disclose the amount of money that was paid to him by this government since he's talking about transparency? The same nonsense the commissioner ran on with last night is the same thing PLP trolls were pushing on social media. At what time did they start pushing it before the actual address? Like, did they expect the address to start at 7:30? So they started pushing at 7:35, and then the thing was delayed, and so it looked obvious. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I am fine, Mrs. Green. Could you give me a few moments, please?
Yes, sir.
And that is one, if you were to go and open up.
I lost you, sir. Let's go to the next caller. Please call back, sir. That's 3236232. Please call back. Good morning.
Aaron, the
I don't know what had happened. I apologize. Okay. Texas, I'm going to get to your texts. I'll be reading these texts before the end of the show. In today's Guardian, there is a headline. Police force is not systemically corrupt, Mitchell says. While he stressed that it is the Davis administration's job to weed out bad actors in law enforcement, Minister of Foreign Affairs Fred Mitchell said on Friday that he does not believe there is systemic corruption within the Royal Bahamas Police Force, full stop. I think what we need to do is we need to ensure that we are all working with the same definition of corruption. See, because I know that corruption is systemic in the police force. The practices are corrupt. They're not aligned with what they're supposed to actually be doing. Now, perhaps what you say that you should have said is that the force is not systemically criminal. Definitely not systemically criminal. But the force is corrupt. The whole thing, 30 years, we've been listening to the punch tell us issue after issue after issue. They're on go slow, right? They're in protest. Go and look at traffic enforcement. The force is systemically corrupt. Police officers don't think they have to enforce traffic controls. When I was growing up, the big placard at Central and at headquarters, number two, said all police officers are traffic officers. The police are running the stop signs and the red lights. They turn in left on red at intersections where you are not permitted to turn left on red. And they are ignoring these things as they happen on the road in front of them. The force is not systemically criminal, but it is corrupt. Good morning, caller.
Ms. Green?
Yes, sir.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you, sir.
Good. Ms. Green, there are two things I would like for you to follow up on, please.
Yes, sir.
And that is, one, how the lawyers wanting to open up money to you that you don't want them to be a part of. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, do not sign anything with them, because if you do, you will be in trouble. So they need this. It gets from that practice.
Okay, sir.
The other thing, Mrs. Green, I was hoping that you will be able to do a review.
Okay.
At the middle of the week, whereby, for example, you came up with many stories. For example, the sinking of the Yamato Castle.
Right.
Do you realize that there was at least four pages done in the Miami Herald for 4 days that spelled out what occurred on the Yamato Castle? But if you can do a midweek review, that would be greatly appreciated because of the many stories that you share with us.
Okay.
I don't hear anything else.
And that's the Miami Herald? I will go and look for it. Thank you, sir. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. I'm sorry we lost you. All right, let's go through the text line. I know you. Okay, I got you, texter. Here's a text. Two things. One, crack crime app and current crime stop hotline are not secure, as stated in the ads. Hold on, they still do it. I called them one time about 35 years ago, and the woman asked for my name and then told me she could not take the information if I didn't give her my name. And I was like, hold on, this is the anonymous hotline. It's about a raccoon. Y'all don't watch that. It was about a raccoon. Our security partners have zero trust in our law enforcement. COP been in the job throughout the entire investigation and only found out the same time as the public. Text, if I were you, I mean, if I wrote that, I would have put a question mark at the end of that. Now the text, I blame the politicians for degrading the office of COP by the frequent removal of them. The life of the COP is now 2 years. It is not enough time for a COP to make a mark on the force. Well, text, I want to thank you for that, because in the debate on whether the COP should resign over this particular matter, you have laid a sound argument. Another text, Aaron, why hasn't the COP already reached out to whomever soon as he heard the info, and why not financially investigate officers now? Why in the future? Another text. Good morning, Aaron. With reference to traffic and the police, I witnessed the other day on Blue Hill Road, a bus was on the right hand, letting people off the bus rather than going on the bus stop on the left hand side of the road. Then comes a police truck. I was like, good, stop this fool. He did. I was happy about it. Then went on my way. See who passed me. It was the same police truck. I said, by God, he just let him off with a warning. And that's such an important public safety issue. Another, Aaron, if the police don't follow the rules, what you expect from civilians? I see, that's why I call it an administrative crisis. Imagine me being a witness to a murder and the police is the killer. I dead right. Come on, actions speak louder than words. What the commissioner doing is showing he has no interest. The boss, not the workers. Now the text, I said to someone on Wednesday, I wonder if we'll have a murder spree like we did after the CDU voice tape scandal broke. Oh, yeah, Oral Roberts, an accessory to that $1 million armored vehicle robbery and scheduled to appear for trial within a few weeks, was in that post tape revealed murder count. Over the weekend, we had 3 murders. The public is at the point where we simply do not know and cannot exclude correlation and causation. Case in point, the commissioner said they have to go back and review Giovanni Roll's murder to review the connection to one of these newly indicted men, originally questioned and released in the murder. Yeah, they're young men, they're young women, people who don't really have a place to be in at night and be comfortable. You find your comfort on the street, y'all be safe. Y'all start thinking, y'all just don't be with the crowd. You gotta let this thing die down. Here's a text. Aaron, ask the commissioner how many officers are wearing ankle monitors. All right, we had lots to talk about today. We've got lots to talk about tomorrow. This week I'm going to be talking about requests for expansions on the regulations governing short-term rental. And I'm going to ask the question. As John Canoe just is the next purge. Kermit, is John Canoe the purge? Because these people, is junk new time and I could say and do whatever I want. Anyway, you guys, my critique on junk new is not an indictment on the thousands of Bahamians that dedicate themselves to keeping the art form alive. I think that the junk new space, just like the rest of the Bahamas, is going through an administrative crisis. That's where our focus should be. You guys stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.